to be in the midst of the service just one more time, amen. We thank God for him. We thank God for all of you, and we thank God for those who are watching virtually, amen. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you today, and we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for the opportunity to lift up and praise your holy name. And we ask, dear God, that you begin to reduce me, dear Heavenly Father, that you can use me, dear Heavenly Father, for your purpose. We thank you for this opportunity, dear Heavenly Father, to teach your word. We pray, dear God, that you let me say, dear God, what you want me to say, and clear my mind where I can think right. And when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, the glory, and all the honor. It is in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I first want to give an honor to God, who is the head of my life, and to our pastor, Pastor T. Jefferson Rogers, in his absence. I want to thank him for this opportunity. It's indeed a pleasure to be able to stand in his stead. I know I'm not him. I can't preach like him. I can't teach like him. But I'm me. And I thank God for the opportunity. And like Reverend Gilchrist said earlier, he could have got anybody. And I thank God for the opportunity just for God to use me. Our pastor, he decided to take a break. He needs a break. We can go on vacation. We can enjoy our family. And sometimes they need to do the same thing. Amen. I know. And to these ministers that's up here, Reverend Gilchrist, pulpit conductor, Reverend Woods, Reverend Lee Walker, I think that's all that I see in the audience. Lastly, to our deacons, to our members and friends, and to my wife and my daughter, Brianna. I see she made it today. We thank God for the Minister Wise for opening us up in devotion this morning and at 10:30 service. Our Minister Wise, our Deacon Wise, and our Trustee Wise. We thank God for our Environmental Committee. They are doing a wonderful job. I know sometimes it's uncomfortable sitting where we don't want to sit at, but we have to do what they say do. And we thank God for this male choir, amen. And to our young man, Jordan, who gave his life to Christ on last Sunday and got baptized today. We thank God for him. And I want him to know that that's one of the best decisions that he ever make in his life. Amen. I love to see young men get saved. We have a lot of females in the church. There's nothing wrong with having females, but we need the young men to get a life to Christ. And I thank God when I see them get up and want to get a life to Christ. Amen. This morning, God, have a word. We're going to be looking at the book of Acts, chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse 25. That's the book of Acts, chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 25. And it reads, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." Amen. You may be seated. We're going to use for a thought this morning, Jesus a way maker. Jesus, a way maker. My brothers and sisters, we as Christians sometimes go through a lot. Sometimes people don't see the things that we go through on every hand. Sometimes we don't even have to do anything wrong. We can be living our life right. We're paying our tithes. We can be giving our time to God. We can be devoted. And we can still go through things. When you look at this story in the book of Acts, that's exactly what happened to Paul and Silas. They wasn't bothering anybody. They was just sharing the word of God. You see, they had got to a point where this young lady who had a spirit of divination, and what they was doing was they had got annoyed because of her going behind them saying all the time that these men are from the Most High God who show us the way of salvation. And Paul was getting irritated with that. And what he did was he cast that demon out of her. He helped that young lady because she was being used by other folks in order to gain money or make profits. And so when they found themselves in this situation, they was hauled off to prison. And they was in prison and found themselves in prison simply for just sharing the word of God, doing what God called them to do, and casting the demon out of some folks. So when we in our lifetime, we go through stuff. Right now it's a trying time for us. We thought the coronavirus was over with. We thought we was out of the pandemic. It seemed like there's still things going on. But we got to understand that no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, Jesus is still a way maker. I know sometimes it's disheartening to us. It's disappointing, and sometimes we get discouraged. But we got to understand that there's things happen to us in life. We lose loved ones. We lose jobs. Folks lie on us. Things happen to us. But God wants us to understand that if we just stay faithful to Him, we continue to do His will, that He is a way maker. And when we look at how God does, how He operates, like I said, we don't have to be doing anything wrong. We can be doing everything according to the will of God. And we can still find ourselves in trouble, still find ourselves going through things. And so we got to understand that God is here for us. He's here for us no matter what's going on. Just because we participate in church, just because we sang in the choir, just because we on the ERSA board, we on the environmental committee, just because we preach from the pulpit, it doesn't mean that things ain't going to happen to us. And so we got to understand that God is simply a way maker. You see, Jesus is looking for something from us as Christian people. He wants us to be different than the world. See, Paul and Silas, when they found themselves in jail, they didn't get discouraged. They didn't get mad. They didn't get upset. It's right here in the Word of God. And so when we look at this text right here, there's three things that we want to look at. The first thing we want to look at is the prayer at midnight. See, the prayer at midnight is something that was significant for them. See, they found themselves in jail. And so when you look at midnight, midnight is the start of a new day.
That's right.
Sometimes we go through stuff. Sometimes we done had a whole bad day. And sometimes we just got to give it over to God. And the reason why we got to give it over to Him is because of the fact that we done been through everything yesterday. And I don't want to go through the same thing today. And so when you give it to God at midnight, things start to change. Paul and Silas was praying in the jail at midnight. Midnight, when we look at that right there, when they was praying, prayer changes things. Prayer changes things in our life. When you don't know that prayer changes things, try God sometimes. Try to give Him some time in the midst of what's going on with you. See, sometimes we just want to murmur. We just want to complain. But we don't want to give it over to God. Yeah. And so when we pray to God at midnight, when we pray to God anytime during the day or the hour, God hear our prayers. See, God don't answer stuff exactly when we want him to answer stuff. And see, that's the important thing that we as Christians have to realize. When we pray to him, we give it to him, we got to understand that God might not answer right now. But there's a time that God is going to answer. But he's going to answer in his time and not our time. So no matter what we are going through in our life, we need to always pray. When we pray, we have to put things in the hands of the Lord. And so when we put it in the hands of the Lord, we got to leave it with him. We got to do that. God's act of freeing Paul and Silas at midnight when they were praying is an indication of power in the midnight prayer. See, I want to tell you something that's significant about midnight for them. See, Paul and Silas did not know that they was going to go to jail. They was minding their own business. They was doing what God called them to do. And they found themselves being thrown in jail simply by following the Lord's instruction. So when you look at midnight right here, when they was in jail, midnight represents them going out, doing stuff, they're praying, and the midst of what's going on. They were shackled in the inner prison. Some of us might not understand what the inner prison is. See, I've done prison ministry before. I've done prison ministry in Michigan. I've done it here in Alabama. And when you have people that's in the inner prison, these are hardcore criminals. These are folks that they literally think if you let them out, they're going to go back to doing the same thing that they was doing before. And so Paul and Silas were just missionaries. They were sharing God's word. They were doing what God called them to do. And they had them shackled and chained in the inner prison just like they was hardcore criminals. You see, that day is coming for us one day. See, when you talk about you love the Lord, you better make sure you love him. You better make sure that you got a relationship with him, because that day and hour is coming in America. It's going to cost you something to share the word of God. And see, folks think that when you share the word of God, see, right now, it's convenient for us. But it's going to cost us something in the future that's coming up. But when you look at the midnight hour, look at the prayer, when you look at getting up out of the bed, losing sleep, you sacrificing your time for the Lord. When you sacrifice time for God, you get his attention. See, this is just not like a regular prayer. See, sometimes we can do lazy prayers, what I mean. We can just lay in the bed. We can just do it before we go. We can do half-sleeping prayers. But when you get your rest and you get up at midnight and you pray to God, that's the ultimate sacrifice for him. And when you sacrifice, God can deliver according to his will. The prayer at midnight is synonymous of sacrificing for God. And that's what God is looking for from us. He's looking for us as Christian people to be a sacrifice for him. And so when we do that, we get God's attention. And so that's what Paul and Silas were doing. Paul and Silas was in the jail and they was praying at midnight. God will accept. He will hear our prayers, but those midnight prayers are special to him. It's a sacrifice for the Lord. And so when we pray for him, that's what God is looking for. And so when we're going through stuff, sometimes we need to sacrifice. We need to get out the bed. We need to get on our knees. And we need to pray to the Lord at midnight in order to get God's attention. God is looking for us to sacrifice for him. And so I want you to understand that it ain't like we serve a God that's sleeping. It ain't like we serve a God that's dead. God can hear our prayers anytime. But when you sacrifice for him, it gets his attention. And so when you look at this right here, that's prayer at midnight. Not only do I see prayer at midnight, but I also see praising God in the midst of our storms. Paul and Silas was caught up in prison. And they found themselves praying to God at midnight. But not only did they pray to him, they was also praising him. It's right here in the text. It says, and sang praises unto God. You see, singing praises to God is a whole different level from just praying. So in other words, when you praying to God, and then you can get up and start praising God in the midst of your storms, what you doing is you telling God that I'm thanking you in advance for what you are already going to do for me. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for the prayers of the saints. And not only he's looking for the prayers, he's looking for the praise of the saints. Paul and Silas, they wasn't doing this thing quiet. I want y'all to understand, they weren't just having prayer to themselves. See, because it said right here that the prisoners heard them. And so, when you talk about the prisoner heard them, they was loud. They was doing everything they could in order to pray and praise God. And so, that's what we got to do. We got, God is in anticipation of our praise. See, God inhabits the praise of his people. When we pray to God and we praise him, that's what God is in expectation of. It's the same thing like it is with Paul and Silas. They was having worship service at midnight in the jail. Think about it. You in the jail, first of all, for doing something, for being guilty of something that you did not do. You shackle in the inner prison with the hardcore criminals. A lot of us will be crying. We will be murmuring. We will be complaining. We'll be doing everything but giving God praise. Paul and Silas saw that this was an opportunity to pray to God and to praise him and to seek his face. And when they were praising God, what they were doing was they was invoking God's favor, God's blessing. They were praising God in the midst of what they was going through. And so that's what we got to do. When we have problems in our relationships, problems in our household, we lost a loved one, we lost a job, we got bad news from the doctor, we got to give it over to the Lord. We got to pray to him, and we got to praise God and thank him for what he's going to do for us. And so when we're talking about that, praising God in the midst of our storms. See, Paul and Silas, when you're talking about having worship service, they were so loud that the other prisoners was woke. They wasn't asleep. They was woke listening in on them. When you look at the New King James Version, it says that the prisoners were listening. And it said that they was listening with enjoyment. In other words, they was having good praise and worship for the Lord. And so that's what we got to do in our church house. See, when we going through things, we done had a hard week at work. We done had a hard week with our children. We done had a hard week with our spouse. We done had a hard week with going on with us. We got to understand that when we come into the worship service, we got to let our hair down and we got to praise God and worship him for what he's doing for us. Yeah. Our service should be so lit by praising the Lord and being thankful to him for everything that he had done. Because God is good to us. We don't deserve what God do for us, but he's good to us, and we should praise him in the midst of what we're going through. We as saints got to stop murmuring. We got to stop complaining. And we got to stop praising God for what he done for us. Our God is a good God. And I'm telling you right now, he's a healer, he's a deliverer, and he can do anything, but he just can't fail. And so when we praise God, he is in expectation of the praise that we have for him. So Paul and Silas was praying to God, and they was praising him at the same time, singing songs and hymns. Think about the what was going on with the prisoners. How they was looking at them weird and strange. And they were saying, these guys in here are chained down with us. And they praising their God even though they in prison. See, Paul and Silas knew that they couldn't hold them. They knew that they had the upper advantage of having favor with the Lord. See, one thing about God, We gotta get to a point in our life, just like the Hebrew boys that was in the fire furnace. See, we gotta get to a point in our life that when we going through stuff, when somebody call you a bad news, when you got a loved one that's sick, when you got somebody who just died, or when you have just lost your job, you find out that people they saying all kind of mean things behind your back at work. Folks lying on you everywhere you go. We got to get to a point of praising God and knowing that, listen, we gonna get delivered. We gonna come out of this. And if we don't come out of this, we know that God is able to bring us out of it. And so that's what Paul and Silas were so happy about. They knew that praying to God, they knew that praising him, no matter what's going on, if they still stayed in prison, they knew that God was able to bring them out.
All right.
So you got to really understand. See, they didn't really know what was going on with them. See, back then, when you went to prison, you didn't ever know if you were going to come out alive or not. See, when they threw them in prison, they didn't say what they was going to do with them. They just threw them in prison because of what had happened. The magistrates had them thrown in there because they had dragged them in there and told them what they had done. And so we got to understand that when you in the midst of your storm, you don't know what's going to happen next, what's going on, but you can still praise God in the midst of your storm. Not only do I see the prayer at midnight and praising God in the midst of our storms, but I see the power of God on display. See, we as Christian people have to get the whole picture. They have a thing at work on my job that when they do something crazy, the first thing they say is, well, you don't see the whole picture. Sometimes we as saints, we don't see the whole picture.
Yeah.
See, sometimes God allow us as Christians to get into things. He allow us to go through things simply so we can be a light to somebody else. When you look at this right here, the power of God on display, we see here that Paul and Silas was praying. They was praising God in the midst of the storm that they was going through. But when they was doing that, they was also being a light to those that was around them. See, the way that we respond to what we're going through has a huge weight on your life as being a Christian. See, not only do folks outside your household can see it, but folks inside your household. See, when you have neighbors, when you got co-workers, when you got church members, and you telling God, telling people how much you love the Lord, every time we see you talking about Jesus, every time you talking about, when you talking about Jesus, you flipping down the aisle on Sunday, you so happy, but time you go through something, you murmuring and complaining. We got to understand that the power of God shining through Paul and Silas was on display. And the reason why it was on display, because God was trying to reach some folks. See, sometimes God had to reach folks through you. And the reason why he got through it through you, because you got faith in him. See, you can take some stuff that your neighbors can't take. You might be able to take some stuff that your husband, your wife can't take. You can take some stuff your children can't take. And so when you see the power of God moving in somebody else's life, and they're not mumbling and complaining, they're praying to God, they praising him no matter what the doctor say. When you do that and they see the power of God on display, a lot of times you invoke folks to get a life to Christ. And so when you look at this text right here and look at all of it, we see here that in verse 25 through 35, that's exactly what God was doing. See, Paul and Silas was in the right place. They didn't do anything wrong. They got thrown into prison. But they got thrown into prison for a reason. And so when they got thrown into prison, they was praying to God at midnight. They were praising God at midnight. And like I told you, when you do that, God can deliver when he get ready. See, God can deliver in the midnight hour.
God can deliver in early morning. God can touch some folks that you don't even think can be touched. And so God can get their heart, then get their mind, and he can get their attention. And so that's what he did with the prisoners as well as the prison guard. See, when he sent that earthquake to shake everything up, and them shackles fell off, and the doors fell open, see, that got their attention. Think about it. Think about it. You praying to God. You praising him at midnight. And then everything start happening. You start having an earthquake. The doors fall open. The shackles fall off. Think about what they thinking now. You see the power of God on display. And when you see the power of God on display, you said, Lord, have mercy. Then they want to get their life to Christ. And the reason why they want to get their life to Christ, because they see that the God that they serve is a true and living God. Yes. 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 See, we ain't got to wake our God up. We ain't got to prop them up. When the wind blow them over, we ain't got to go get them. We ain't got to put an umbrella over them. None of that stuff like that. We serve a God that can do everything, but he just can't fail. So when you see the power of God on display, and you see the events that were surrounding the arrest of Paul and Silas, and other folks seeing what happened to them, and actually when they had the earthquake and everything got loose, that's when they started getting their attention. Now the jailer, the person who was the prison guard. See, being a prison guard meant something back in the day. See, right now you can watch news and they can say somebody escaped from prison and somebody might get in trouble about it and they might not. But when you had somebody escape from prison back in the day, especially in Rome, what happened was they gonna take your life as well. And so this was very important to them. And so when he woke up out of his sleep and he seen these doors open to the prison, he thought them people had left, but they were still there. And the reason why they were there, because Paul and Silas is Christian people. They could have left. Some of us, if we was in prison and the doors fell open, the first thing we'd do, we'd say, well, this must be God's way of getting me out of here. Yeah. Yeah. We'd be on our way out to jail. But Paul and Silas knew what that meant for the jailer. And so what they did was they stayed. And not only they stayed, they encouraged the other prisoners to stay. Because the power of God was moving in the life of the jailer. He was moving in the life of the prison guard. And so he wanted to do that. So when he saw the power of God moving, when he saw what was going on, that's when he asked for a light. And when he asked for a light, he ran in there to Paul and Silas. He didn't run to the other prisoners. He ran into Paul and Silas. And he says, what must I do to be saved?
Yeah.
See, that's all God wants us to do, is to be a living testimony for him. We got to stop talking about Jesus and start living Jesus.
Yeah.
And we have the power of God on display in our lives. Other folks want to get their life to Christ.
Yeah.
Think about the testimony you will have when you go to the doctor and the doctor say you got a terminal illness and you ain't going to survive.
Yeah.
Think about it when you go back and they can't find nothing.
Yeah.
Think about when you leave out the doctor's office praying and praising God and the doctor saying that person is a fool. I just diagnosed them with a terminal illness and they're not going to live long. But when they come back to the doctor's office and they can't find anything, when they see the power of God moving in your life, think about what they have on that doctor.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
See, we gotta understand that God, it, to us, got to mean something. And when he means something to us, we got to live it. We got to be the witness that he want us to be. And when we be the witness that he want us to be, then we can actually save lives. Saving lives is not always telling folks about Jesus. A lot of times it's about living Jesus. And when we live it in front of them, folks want to get a life to Christ. See, God's power was working the whole time frame. And not only was it working for the jailer and his whole family that got saved, it was also working for the magistrates. Mm-hmm. See, in verse 35, it was saying that next morning, The magistrate says, let them go. Paul and Silas wasn't looking for that. They didn't know that they were going to just let them go. See, God, a lot of times we pray and we praise him. A lot of times God is working behind the scenes on our behalf. He's doing things that we don't even know that's going on. See, one thing I can tell you is, a lot of times we spend more time trying to explain to people that we're innocent. We spend more time trying to explain to people that we're not guilty. When we stand before the judge, we tell the judge we're not guilty. When we talking to the doctor, we're a doctor. I don't know how this can be. If I got this terminal illness, when we have a loved one to die that we wasn't expecting to die, we got to understand that God is working behind the scenes. He's working behind the scenes for his benefit, for his glory, for his glorification. In everything that he does, when you have a relationship with him, he does it for his good. And so we got to understand that's how God operates. And so we got to see that the power of God is on display for us. And that's the same way it need to be for this nation right now. That's the problem in America. We're not on display for folks to see the power of God moving in our life. We always talk about Jesus, but we're not living Jesus. When folks mistreat you at work, you ain't got to go in there and cuss everybody out. All you got to do is tell them, you just say, I'm praying, I'm praising God because I know I'm innocent. I ain't do none of this. And so when you do that, God can operate in your life. Because here's your co-workers that you work with every day, who you've been telling about Jesus, can see Jesus evident in your life. And so we got to understand that's why it's very, very important for us as Christians. We got to have sacrificial prayer for him. Not only do we have to have sacrificial prayer for him, we got to praise God in the midst of our storms. And when we praise God in the midst of our storms, you will see the power of God on display in our lives. God is a good God. He is a healer. He is a deliverer. He is a way maker. And that's what God do. Don't never give up on God, because God will never give up on you. We are in the midst of a pandemic season. There's a lot of things going on in our life right now. Stuff that we can't even explain. We fighting a disease we can't even see. It's the same way of fighting the devil. You can't see him, but he always fighting them all the time. We find a disease that we can't even see. I want you to be encouraged and understand, don't give up on the Lord. God haven't went anywhere. One of the reasons why God allowed things to go on in our life and continue to go on in our nation is because we're not giving God the proper time. Let me tell you something. Reverend Gilchrist talked about prayer this morning. I talked about the same thing today. We didn't talk to each other. That was providence. That was actually from God. And so you got to understand, God is trying to tell us something in this nation, trying to tell us something in this church. We got to spend more time praying and praising him if we want to see some results. And that's what God is looking for from us. He wants us to pray to him and pray and have praises to him. He wants us to do that because he wants us to be an example to folks that's around us. So when people start coming to you with negative news, when people start telling you negative stuff, let's start praying. Let's start praising God and letting these folks know that God is still real. He's still on the throne and he's still in charge. We got to understand that when people see that, a lot of times they're going to come running saying, what must I do to be saved? And the reason why they want to come running saying that is because they see the power of God moving in our lives. They want to know, why are you so happy? Why are you praising God even though you know that you only got a few days left here on this earth? Why are you praising God because you having a whole lot of issues, financial issues? Why are you praising God? The reason why we praise God, because we know that God is able to do anything for us. And when people see that in our life, they have a desire to want to follow Jesus themselves. And so we as Christian people have to understand we got to be an example to them. And so my point is, if you're going through things, you got problems in your life, you got bad news, you have received bad news from the doctor, it don't matter what the judge told you, what your sentence is. What matters is that you continue to pray, seek God's face, and praise him. And so we got to understand that Jesus, he is a way maker. Amen. Amen. The doors of the church are open. If you are here and you want change in your life, you can get change. You can give your life to Christ. Best day to give your life to Christ is when you're in worship service. You have the ability to give your life to Christ. You've heard the word. Some of us in two services. And if you want to give your life to Christ, you can do that. Not only if you're not saved, you want to give your life to Christ. If you are looking for a church home and you want to come forward and you want to join this church, you can. And not only that, if you backslid and you want to be restored to the Lord, you can do that as well. God is moving in this nation. He's gaining and trying to get our attention for some reason. We don't never know what tomorrow holds. We don't even know what today holds. But God. God can do anything for us. And he can do anything in your life. Well, if you're here, you can give your life to Christ. Amen. Thank you, Welcome Committee. Amen. We thank God for all of you. We thank God for the pastor for the opportunity to preach the word today. And if there's nothing else that claims our attention, we ask that you all stand. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you today, dear God. We thank you for your word. We pray, dear God, that your word will not return void, but that it would accomplish what you sent it out to do. Lord, we thank you for everything right now, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that you continue to bless this church family. Bless those that are here, those that are under the sound of my voice, that are watching virtually. And we thank you for everything that you're doing for us, dear God. We ask, dear God, that you continue to strengthen us. Help us to be more diligent for you. And we want to give you all the praise, the glory, all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we pray that you continue to work with the pastor of this church, the Heavenly Father. Continue to strengthen him and his family, the Heavenly Father. Continue to lead and guide him according to your Holy Spirit. And we're asking the Heavenly Father, when everything is said and done, you have all the praise, we have all the glory, you have all the honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, continue to watch over us, dear God, and continue to strengthen us, Lord, and continue to help us to do your will. And we thank you. We praise you and we magnify your holy will. And may the grace of God
in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. Rest, rule, and abide with each of us. Let us all say, amen.